we're going to finish up this little series we have been doing on the practice of godliness. And we're going to look at tonight the fact that godliness requires discipline in spiritual exercise. As a general rule, people don't reach their goals apart from some sort of discipline. If you wanted to be a piano player, unless you actually study your craft and practice, not just once a week, but actually practice daily, you'll never be an accomplished pianist. The same with if somebody's learning how to play the guitar, you know. I don't know how many times I've heard Brandon and Brad get up here, and I think to myself, I think I could do that, you know. But when I get a guitar in my hand, it just sounds boom, boom, boom. Well, I don't practice. I don't know any of the chords. I don't know how to place my fingers, anything like that. And so you can't expect to be successful in any endeavor unless you learn how to discipline yourself. And it's true in the spiritual realm as well. Just as a piano player or a guitar player does not become accomplished and free to play with skill, that won't happen unless they practice, unless they're disciplined, unless they do it over and over and over. You know, the Bible talks about exercising yourself rather unto godliness. And that Greek word for exercise in that text is gymnasia, meaning to train, to exercise, to discipline yourself. So if you're going to reach your goals for godliness in your spiritual quest to be more like the Lord, more in agreement with His Word, with His principles, more in agreement with what pleases Him, you have got to practice every day. You can't take a break. There has to be this discipline. Godliness requires a personal responsibility and a commitment to those things that tend to godliness. Now, no one makes it to the Olympics unless they're committed to training. You know, you're never going to be an Olympic athlete unless you train. You'll never be a successful gymnast unless you practice every single day. It takes work. It takes diligence. And we'll not achieve godliness unless our lives are marked by a commitment to spiritual exercise or spiritual excellence by way of spiritual exercise. Every Olympian has a good coach and a good trainer that urges them on. And so it is with every child of God, every Christian. You and I, we've got a personal trainer. We've got a personal coach who enlightens us and guides us and teaches us and opens our eyes and convicts us when we want to lay out a training. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And we got to be careful that we don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Now, one of the most important disciplines for godliness involves the Word of God. Titus chapter 1 verse 1 says, "The acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. Here's a fact, and it's one that you've heard me preach over and over and over again. If you are not intimately connected with the Word of God, if you are not reading it, meditating on it, memorizing it, applying it in your daily life, obeying its commands, living up and living by its principles, then you know what? You are not going to be successful in the Christian life apart from the Word of God. And the sad thing is, most professing Christians pay more attention to the news, to the political stuff that's going on, than they do the Word of God. This should be part of every day for you, to feed on the Word of God. You need to read it. You need to study it. The Bible says, look at the way, what Revelation chapter 1 says. Look over there, Revelation chapter 1. Verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. You got to read the word, you got to hear the word. So you have to have personal devotion as well as with the Word of God for you, feeding on the bread of life, the Word of God, each and every day. And then you have to have public worship where you come and you assemble yourselves with the saints of God in the church of God so that you can hear the Word of God preached. You can be instructed, you can be encouraged, you can be edified, you can be convicted, all by the hearing of the Word of the living God. Now, the Christian world, quote unquote, that we live in today does not want to hear the Word of God. The Bible, Paul told Timothy that the day would come when people will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears who will be given over to fables and stories, and it's all fun and games in most churches because they don't care about what the Word of God teaches. And you are even more responsible as members of a New Testament Baptist church. The kind of church that Jesus started, that is in his holy succession of churches. You're more responsible because you know if you're doing your job as a member of this New Testament church, you're holding the pulpit accountable through the years to always call a pastor who believes and preaches the truth of the Word of God. That's the responsibility of the man. How do you keep heresy out of the pulpit? You've got to keep it out of the pew. You have to be well educated in spiritual things. You have to be led of the Spirit. You have to know the truth. When you do know the truth and you call a pastor that loves the truth and preaches the truth and does his best to practice that truth consistently, you have a lot of responsibility on you. Because you know every time that you come to the house of God, every time the doors are open, there is going to be the preaching of the Word of God. There is going to be some form or fashion of biblical instruction. Sometimes it'll be preaching aimed at informing you, teaching you doctrine. Sometimes it will be messages that are geared to convicting you of your personal sin and worldliness and covetousness and waywardness.
time you come through those doors, you ought to have your heart prepared. You ought to have your mind cleaned up. And you ought to have this time set apart as sacred so that we can gather to worship, to sing, to pray, to praise God, and to hear the Word. I mean, that's the simplicity, I believe, of true worship in spirit and in truth. It's not all entertainment. Listen, churches are being overrun with just the spirit of worldliness and entertainment. And preachers think that they've got to do something to entertain people, and they've got to have certain kind of music to appeal to everybody. There's got to be a lot of stories. Listen, you look at every great revival, it's always been marked by sound preaching of the Word of God and hearers who were prepared to receive the Word of God. So unless you come to church that way, your prayers for revival are pretty much in vain. If all you're doing is putting your time in and just coming here, clocking in, and kind of letting the mind go on, and when the last amen, you just go on home, there ain't going to be no revival. You have got to put something in to every opportunity for worship and study.
Our religious world does not want to prepare themselves and exercise themselves rather unto godliness.
Our church doesn't have a lot of fluff. Basically, you know what you're going to get every time you come here. We're going to sing hymns. We're going to have prayer. We're going to have preaching. That's what you're going to get. And I pray that God will stir us to do it to the very best of our ability.
You see, you owe it to yourself.
If you're going to take the time to get yourself fixed up and brush your teeth and get in your car and drive here, you owe it to yourself to put every ounce of energy you've got into this service rather than just coasting. Because we're talking about maybe an hour. Sunday morning, 2 hours. Sunday night, an hour. Wednesday night, an hour of actual concentrated singing, praying, praising. Hearing the Word. And it takes discipline of your spirit, your heart, your mind, your will if you're going to get anything out of this worship service. You should respect one another when you come to the house of God. And you should have a measure of respect for your pastor who has taken the time to study, to pray, to meditate, to think upon the things of the Word of God so that you'll have something to feed on. That encompasses what I'm talking about. Hearing the Word. You know, one of the best ways you can prepare daily is to read the Word. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Study the Word of God. That's the way you get cleaned up. Jesus said, Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Jesus prayed to the Father, sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth. He said in Matthew that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
So again, if your training for godliness, it ought to become so, you ought to recognize that without the word, your training's in vain. You won't be godly apart from the word of God. I've always encouraged you. I usually do it this time of year or before a new year.
Determine to read the Bible through every year. John always says, hey, I've read up to here. I'm in Isaiah right now, and I'm thankful to hear that report. You discipline yourself to read the Bible. And I would encourage you to memorize passages. Memorize verses. Things that you need help with. Maybe it's a sin you're dealing with. Well, go to a concordance, look up the key word, find a verse that deals specifically with that, and then memorize it. And think about it and feed upon it. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Who, the blessed man, he's saturated with the word of God. His meditation is upon the word of God.
Study, memorize, meditate. And I always go back to Proverbs chapter 2. This requires so much diligence to be able to say what he said here, what the instruction he gave. Look at these key words as you read this. Proverbs 2 verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You know what every one of those action words imply? That you're putting some into it. You're being earnest to receive, to hide, to incline, to apply, to cry after, to lift up your voice, to seek and search. They're all action words as it relates to your study of the Word of God. Now, there are other spiritual disciplines that help to enhance our godliness and our walk with God, certainly prayer. If I have I have many faults, and I'd have to say prayer and meditation are some of my weaknesses. There's times I don't think deeply like I ought to. There's times I don't pour out my heart to God in sincerity. Sometimes I just do it because I know I have to do it. Rather than have a genuine connection with God in prayer. But there are other things. Witnessing. Looking for opportunities to share the gospel and to tell what great things the Lord has done in your life to other people who need the Lord. And just being thankful and delighting in God's presence and enjoying fellowship with fellow believers, being a blessing to your spouse, teaching your children. These are all acts of godliness.
It encompasses all of life, doesn't it? This pursuit of exercising thyself rather unto godliness, it really should spill over and be part of everything you do. This desire to want to be more like the Lord and to walk with Him and abide in Him.
This is godliness. A God-centeredness in your life, where everything you do revolves around the glory of God. It is the desire in your character to be more like Christ. And the practice of godliness is both the practice of devotion to God and the practice of a lifestyle that is pleasing to God, that reflects His character to others.
This is a worthy pursuit, to want to be more like the Lord, so that others, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. Of this pursuit, this practice of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. John, if you'll pray.